to the International House of Horrors.
Hello, valued guests, and welcome back to the International House of Horrors podcast, your sanctuary of spooky for all things terrible, horrible, brutal, bloody, gory, and the macabre. I am one of your curators here at the house, Joe Merle.
And I am the other one, Jason.
We have a very special guest who comes to us, and I love the effort. I love putting forth the effort to be a little German in there. You might know him as Jason Bromley, but over in this household, we know him as Jay Burt. He is the one and only, the man behind Talking Poop Podcast. Jason, welcome to International House of Horrors.
Hey, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man. So happy you could be on, and thank you for filling in. Josh is getting ready to make his trek across the pond, work his way towards the States. So he's like, I got a ton of shit I got to do. I was like, it's all good, man. Don't worry. I know a podcast guy. And no one who will show up and fill in. He'll take over those German shoes. We'll see if I can throw as many German jokes at you as I do at Josh every week. But yeah, man, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. It's always exciting to have somebody on. And I know you're. How long ago did we do Halloween? It's been a little bit, right?
We did Halloween last Halloween.
Ah, that's right. That is right. Yeah. When I was on some talking poop. Talking all things Michael Myers. And it's getting to be that time of the year here. I had to go put socks on. It's getting cold. You're never cold. It's always fucking hot.
I'm literally sweating my balls off right now. I have a towel to dry myself off as we podcast.
I saw you doing it. And I don't know if I ever told you this, but I have a sister, my sister Becky, who I was just talking to the other day. It was probably maybe 2-3 days ago. She lives about 20 miles, I think she said, from Phoenix. Or 20 minutes from Phoenix. And yeah. So, yeah, if we ever make the trip out there, I'm going to have to swing by the old Bromley Casa and record a live episode. We'll do it live.
Yes. Come to the actual toilet bowl.
Right. The toilet bowl. I like it. It's a good name for the studio. We'll get sometimes Phil to show up. It'll be amazing.
Oh, hell yeah. We'll have that big communal bath you were talking about.
Yes, just kissing DVDs. Putting lipstick on each other. We'll do a whole photo shoot. Put the lipstick.
Would you fuck me?
I'd fuck me. Fuck me hard. Who did it better, Buffalo Bill or the Muse?
Was it Dude, Jay?
Jay did it.
Jay
the best.
All day, every day.
Jay was pretty fantastic. We actually might get into a Kevin Smith, or actually not a Kevin Smith movie, but a View Askew movie today. It was one I was thinking about because we're not doing the Twilight Zone for any of our listeners who are used to us jumping into the Twilight Zone. That's a me and Josh thing. That's only for the big thing when we start doing that. It was like, I want Josh to see every single episode of The Twilight Zone. So we're going to skip over that today. And you and I talked about a little bit, and in celebration of It Chapter 2, which I'm sure is going to dominate the box office this weekend, we are talking Killer Clowns.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, diddle, diddle, ding, 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 ding. And not just Killer Clowns from Outer Space, but all Killer Clowns. And I did a little bit of homework. Shane had kind of looked some stuff up for me as well. Just the history of clowns as we know them and kind of where they came from. And honestly, some of it's kind of boring. It's like, yeah, you know, European theater and shit like that. But once the clowns really came to the States, and the clown, this idea, they were almost always hobos or like a tramp type character. A kind of, you know, running the rails whenever they were shown in theaters. And then they, of course, went on to the circus. And I got a story for you too. Don't let me forget to tell you the story. They went on to the circus, and sometimes they would be ringleaders, but a lot of times, you know, they were juggling, they were doing silly shit. But even at the circus, they would be kind of a hobo character, like face painted on, but you know, the knapsack over the shoulder with the stupid little hat on, kind of where the clowns come from. And the story, I completely forgot about this till just now. So my mom got me a clown for like my 5th or 6th birthday, right? So yeah. And it was at the school. They did it at my preschool. So I had to have been even younger than that. I was probably 5. I know I had a really badass Masters of the Universe cake. I had a He-Man cake that was super cool. And she had got me Castle Grayskull, which I still remember as being one of the best birthday gifts I've ever gotten. But this clown comes and he does all his magic tricks and shit. Kind of a magician clown type character. And she found out like 2 weeks later something, he was a child molester. And
that's what makes them scary. That's what started scary clowns. It's like you said, they were hobos, but they were also chomo hobos.
Right. Chomo hobos. That's the name of this. That's the name of this episode right here. But you're right. That should be a movie. We should start.
But yeah, that's where the terror started.
It really is. And I think, you know, Gacy, and we'll get into to that as well. I don't know if you've seen the Gacy movie, but yeah, so do you have any sort of idea? It is a huge fear for a lot of people, clowns. Like there's people who are deathly afraid of clowns, and I can't even remember what it's called, that phobia. But are you scared of clowns? Do you have any sort of weirdness?
Yes. I've always been scared of clowns, and I think it has to do with anything that is innocent that is then corrupted is horrifying.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And clowns are that thing. They're supposed to be innocent, but they've always been a little bit scary because you know that it's a man underneath that silly makeup. Like, it's a grown ass man.
Like a huge adult human being underneath. Right. And I think the makeup is always what has bothered me. It's so unnatural looking.
Yes.
There's something in like, hey, kid, come here. Let me make you this fucking balloon thing. It's like, no.
Totally. Like, even Bozo, who was like totally like the nice clown, could have snapped at any moment.
Right. Yeah. Bozo could have lost his mind. And they said that was when I was reading the history of clowns, that was when it really came into the mainstream and that McDonald's stole from Bozo. And I want to say the dude who played Bozo for like the first 4 or 5 years played Ronald McDonald for a little while.
Really? Yeah. Really?
And Ronald McDonald, he's not as scary, but he's scary because he gives you the diabetes. That's
exactly. Yeah. So, but
he's the greatest killer of them all.
Exactly. He's the most proficient for sure.
Right. You keep coming back. They're easily the highest body count.
You'll take your fucking toes first.
Oh yeah. He takes your toes and your foot, then your leg. Of all the killer clowns, Ronald is the absolute best. And I think my first exposure to a killer clown was it. Was the TV miniseries.
Right.
That fucked me up, dude. That fucked me up bad.
Yeah. And I did not, I was a pussy when I was a little kid. I am a horror guy now, but when I was little, fuck that, dude. I couldn't even get near it. So, like, for me, it was real clowns, man. Like, I remember going to McDonald's and they were having like a special kids thing and I saw Ronald. And this is in Los Angeles in like 1989. And it's hot outside, and his makeup was starting to run.
See, that's fucked up, dude.
Right. And I could see the man underneath, and became acutely aware that this man was not happy to be entertaining these kids.
Right.
And it made it scary. And then I think the clown on Garfield fucked me up.
I'm trying to think the clown on which clown?
Binky.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Hey, you kids!
And that guy, I mean, that shit is terrifying. And you know what? I didn't even think before we started this, cartoon clowns, because there have been some really good cartoon clowns at the same time. But the idea, and can you imagine being that man, though? Like, now, you know, you're an adult man, and that's your job, to go stand outside McDonald's and be terrifying.
Like, and even as a kid, I knew, I was like, that guy is dangerous.
Stay away, stranger danger.
The only thing I could do to keep him from killing me is let him touch my penis, which I don't want either.
It's the only way. It's my only defense. Drop my pants as fast as I can. It's the only
way. Here, have my BH. It's my only defense.
Just holding on to your mom's leg super tight. Like, do not let me go. You know what though? My oldest still doesn't like anyone in costumes, like the Easter bunny and shit. When they're at the mall, she's like, no, I'm good, man.
Cause they have those fucked up screen eyes.
Right.
And again, you're like, those screen eyes are the only thing that's between me and a complete fucking psychopath.
And does it take a certain level of person to, there's gotta be some sort of true notion outside of John Wayne Gacy to clowns doing fucked up things to people, because it is such a part of the cultural zeitgeist. Like, clowns are scary. So let's talk about some scary clown movies.
I want to talk about. Let's go back to it.
Let's go back to it. So the TV miniseries, I turned it on a couple days ago. I'll watch it every once in a while. You know, in hindsight, like looking back at it, it wasn't the best. But Tim Curry was the best.
Yes.
And I still prefer him over Skarsgård. I think Skarsgård's clown, his Pennywise, I think the voice is a little bit better. But to me, and to your point, Curry's always been worse for me because I feel like you could see him at the circus.
Yes.
You wouldn't see the Skarsgård Pennywise, you know, just out and about. You would see, though, Tim Curry. He was just the white face, the big pom-poms, the orange pom-poms down the front. And he had that even when he, as a kid, I was fucking terrified of the scene when he comes up out of the drain when the, I can't remember who had the asthma, Eddie. Eddie's taking a shower at the school, and then Pennywise just pulls it apart and he puts his hand, like his face on his hand like that. He's real friendly about it. Like, hey, Edo. And he's got that just horrifying voice, man. And the stuff in the sewer when he's waving, when he's on the side of the road and he's just standing there with the balloons. Like a clown on the side of the road is up. But that was the first time I remember seeing a clown and being truly like, that's fucking nightmare fuel. Like, I don't like any of this.
They took the clown, the innocent clown, and then they corrupted it. We always thought it could be evil, but they showed us how evil it could look.
Right.
And when he has the sharp teeth and the fucked up eyes, you're like, Jesus Christ.
And the mouth opens up all big.
Right. Yeah. Just and like, to your point about the Skarsgård one, like if I saw him, I'd be like, oh, fuck no. Like I wouldn't get close. Mm-hmm. But the Tim Curry one still kind of looked like a friendly clown guy.
Yeah. Like you go up and. Yeah. He could be at the circus.
You take a balloon from him, and then you'd be fucked.
And that was his big. Have you ever read it? Have you ever read the book? No,
no, I haven't.
So the book gets into a lot more detail about, you know, when Pennywise kind of crash landed in Derry. So you've got it, who's a all knowing. You had Pennywise, which I can't remember what they called him, and then the Space Turtle. And the Space Turtle was everything that was good. Pennywise was everything that was evil. Crashed into Derry and essentially was Derry. Like, he's a part of Derry, like, throughout all of it. And in the book, if I remember right, he took on the form because that was a way to get to the kids. It was to be the clown. And he fed off the fear. And so kids were so much easier because their fear was so much more intense. Like, the energy of the fear was so much more intense than
that's kids. What I love about Penny, the idea of Pennywise is that the more scared of him you are, the stronger he gets.
Right. Which is fucked up.
I mean, yeah, that's super fucked up.
Stephen King's the best. I mean, when it comes to writing horror, that dude really does.
He is, but what's with the fucking Space Turtle always showing up? Like,
yeah, and throughout all the books, I haven't read all of the Dark Tower stuff. I'm sure you've heard me mention Michael Strom, great friend of mine. I think the Space Turtle's even there, or maybe even there's one that oversees the Space Turtle, though, like Ga or Ma or Ra or something like that. That's an even bigger being than the Space Turtle. I don't know. Stephen King did a lot of cocaine.
A lot of cocaine.
Yeah. I mean, he accredits Maximum Overdrive to cocaine use. He's like, I was doing a lot of cocaine at the time.
That's impressive, though.
It really is.
I wish I had a movie that I was like, I did this whole movie. I was fucked up on cocaine.
Right. The entire time. I was just,
yeah.
Fucking blowing rails and like, just start shooting pop cans out of that machine. Fuck it. Give that kid a baseball glove. It doesn't matter. Microwave, alive. Refrigerator, alive. Fucking everything is alive. I'm alive. We're all alive.
You want to make that truck scarier? If it had a big green goblin face on the front.
Huge. No, bigger. Bigger green goblin. I need the biggest fucking green goblin you could find. So, you know, we talked about it, the miniseries, but really we didn't get treated to it until the most recent movie. So the 2017 movie, the first part of it, which Andy, what's his name? Muschinetti. Yes. Yeah. Did an amazing job. And Skarsgård, you know, I was watching him on a couple of the late night shows when they were first promoting the first movie. And the fact that he can really do that with his eyeball creeps me out. Like, that's because he did it on like Jimmy Fallon or Kimmel or somebody. And he actually floated that one eye way the fuck up while the other one is staring straight forward.
Yeah.
That's an uncanny ability. I feel like if I had that ability, I'd want to take like a bunch of mushrooms or maybe trip on some acid with people in my youth and just start floating that thing around. Like, hey, here we go.
But I would just go like order food at McDonald's. I'd be like, do you have 100-pack of chicken nuggets? And just let my eye float up.
Or if they're like, what would you like? Just float the one towards the menu behind them.
I'm pointing at it.
Right. What do I want from way over there to the left?
Is that the value menu?
So Skarsgård absolutely killed the Pennywise role, though. Like, they're two very different Pennywises, but his is it's weird, though. And, you know, I've said this, maybe I can get your opinion on it. I talked to a few people when it first came out. I don't know if I would even call the remake is so much more a dark fairy tale than it is a horror movie. The first one as a kid really scared me. And granted, I'm desensitized. I've been like you. I was a really scared kid. But my mom told me, she's like, when you were young, she gave no shits. She let us watch whatever we wanted. And she's like, you almost forced yourself in order to get over it. Like you were, she said I was scared of everything. Tweety Bird, like people with Tweety Bird masks. Somebody had a Ronald Reagan mask at one time, which is scary if you think about it.
That is scary.
But she said, I took off running and was terrified. But so over all these years, I've become pretty desensitized to a lot of horror. But this one, you know, none of the kids die, even though I guess they didn't really die in the first one either. But it's more of I feel like Guillermo del Toro could have done it. You know, it has that sort of fairy tale, really dark folklore feel to it. But and the CGI stuff, it does take you out of it a little bit. No matter how good your CGI looks, it's never going to be Tim Curry terrifying. Just standing on the side of the road. Yeah, you know, Skarsgård. Totally. Yeah, the voice was great. Hi, Georgie. That's a nice boat. So good.
Yeah, I would not get anywhere near that fucking sewer grate if that fucking dude's in there.
No, I was so scared of him as a kid after seeing that movie. But also on the same side of that coin, so in 89, that would have been when the Turtles came out, or 90. Turtles was 90. I remember believing, man. And you talk about people in a costume. My grandma one time took me to, it was like Kmart or some shit. And it was like, hey, come meet the Ninja Turtles. And I'm like,
oh, cool.
I'm like, you know, every beat of my heart was just like radiating energy. I was going to meet my heroes. Like, I truly, truly believed. And I got there and it's just some guy in a foam costume, you know, doesn't look right at all. And I was so disappointed. I was like, that's not the Turtles. What are you doing, Grandma? That's not the Turtles. So have you seen part two yet? Did you see it, chapter two?
I have not. It's Friday or Saturday. So
That's true.
Time yesterday. And then, but I do hope to see it this weekend.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'm going with Josh. I'm waiting for Josh. Told him I would wait.
That's sweet.
I know. So we can hold hands in the movie theater and hang out. Hey, you know, though, it will be kind of nice not opening weekend to be able to go. And hopefully it will have died down a little bit.
But there is something to say for that opening weekend audience. That's there.
Yeah.
They're there to just see the movie. And they're just like, they're in it. They're scared. You hear the gasps.
Right.
You hear the girl that his boyfriend, her boyfriend talked her into going to it, and she doesn't like horror movies. Like, this one's not that bad. It's going to be all right.
Right. Yeah, don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, he's like, I'm getting pussy tonight.
Audience has gotten so bad, though, man. The phones, the talking, I've been telling my kids, you could take my kids with me not present to a movie theater right now and ask them, like, what's the rules? And they would tell you, we don't talk. We only laugh when something's really funny. I've been telling them that since they were 3 years old. Like, you don't ever talk in the movie. I tell my wife, like, do not talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I would never hit a woman, but the closest I've ever come was like the first time I went to a movie with my wife, and she said one thing after the trailers had rolled.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you doing? How dare you?
Blasphemy.
We are in church right now.
Right. We do not do that. But it's gotten to this point now. And with horror movies, I've always found that a lot of people who are truly scared, they talk to themselves or to someone next to them in order to pull themselves out of what they're feeling. You know, it's a defense mechanism in a way. Yeah. But don't go to the fucking movie if you're going to be that scared. Like, don't. Exactly. And that's what the movie's supposed to do. You're going to a horror movie. The goal is to make you feel something. But yeah, horror, any movie audiences, and even fucking old people. Like, I was in a movie not long ago, and they had been 70 years old chatting the whole time behind me, munching on popcorn. Yeah. I'm like, greatest generation, my ass. Like, you need to shut your face. Shut up. Just be quiet.
The closest I've ever been to, like, fights as an adult are not in a bar. They're in a movie theater where, like, an old couple are talking, and I'll turn around and go, does this look like your fucking living room?
Right.
Does this look like your living room?
Yeah, I've said it to a few people. I'm like, I love your commentary, man. Like, you guys are just killing it back there. Anyway, moving on. Killer Clowns. So this is kind of, I think, maybe a polarizing one. I don't even know if you would count him as a clown, but I know you and I are both such big fans. Does the Joker fit into the world of Killer Clowns?
He absolutely does. He's the OG Killer Clown.
I agree. But I think some people be like, well, that's not a horror movie. But his actions, and yes, maybe not in all the movies, but in a lot of the comic books, like, he's done some of the most fucked up vile shit to people.
Yes. Yes. I actually had a novel, and I wish that I could remember the name of it, but it was a novel by all these different authors, and it was kind of like a horror thing about the origins of the Joker. Oh, and it was like different times in his life where there was no censorship on it, and it got rough. But and that's kind of what I feel about this Joaquin Phoenix story, is that it's not a horror movie, but he is a horror character.
Yeah. And you've seen You Were Never Really Here, right?
Yes.
Have you seen? Oh, and see, that's what I want. I want that character from that movie. And I think Philip brought it up when we were talking on Tuesday. You know, that quiet manic, like, it's just below the surface and it's right there. But to see
anybody, I mean, like, did you see the documentary? I'm Still Here.
No, the who did that? Was it Casey Affleck did that?
It was Casey Affleck, dude. Please go watch that today.
Yeah,
because you will see he goes beyond a performance. And like, when they you've seen the clip of him on Letterman, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
So that clip, like, it makes you so uncomfortable. This is 2 fucking hours of that.
Nice.
This man can get so lost in a performance that he changes who he is as a person.
Yeah, man.
And like, people look at him in the face, like friends of his, because he did this for a year. He played a character that was himself.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm going to be fat and I'm going to quit acting and I'm going to be a rapper. And he like looks P. Diddy in the eye, and P. Diddy is like, are you fucking with me right now? Or are you fucking serious? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. Like, I'm serious. I want to be a rapper. And P. Diddy's then, we're going to do this shit. But if you're fucking with me, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Right.
And he's like, all right, man. And I mean, it gets sick.
I don't know why I never watched it, because I've always been a fan of his. And I know when it came out, everybody was confused about it. They were like, what is this?
Because they were like, did he lose his fucking mind, or is he doing an experiment? And it turns out afterwards, if you get the DVD, he comes out of it and he's like, yeah, it was an experiment. This is something that we planned, but he could have ruined his career.
But he's always, I mean, ever since his brother, though, he always was a little bit off like that, really. But and it would, you know what I mean? Like, that would do it to you. I can't imagine, you know, you think about someone like him or even Vinnie Paul watching Dimebag get killed on a stage, like that fucks you up forever. You don't ever completely come back. But yeah, Joaquin Phoenix is the Joker, I think, is going to give us and we had talked about it a little bit. Well, Phil and I talked about it a little bit last week as well, in that I'm kind of glad they're not pulling anything straight from the books. Like, I kind of want them to do, part of me is always going to be like, yes, there's so many, we have Joker stories from the 1930s that have been going on nonstop ever since. And there's been some good ones, but with Joaquin Phoenix doing it in an oversaturated superhero world and the Joker not really having any definitive origin story, do what you want with it. And the times that they've tried to give him an origin, you know, we've seen so many different versions of it. Why not just give us another version? As a comic book reader, I don't care. And I think for someone who maybe only really enjoys the movies, maybe they want that and they want that flashy superhero stuff. But I'm like, you should read Joker or read The Killing Joke and see that we could do some, like when he put Gordon in The Killing Joke and all that bondage, like S&M shit and the pile of baby dolls, he's just sitting on a mountain of baby dolls and the weird little like dwarf people that are dressed up in all the S&M gear. There's some cool shit. So the Joker gets passed. He goes on for the, and now who is your, that's always a tough question. Who's your favorite Joker?
Oh, yeah,
I know.
That's
really tough. It is.
But the thing with the Joker, and I criticized the Joker when I heard this Joaquin Phoenix was coming out, even the trailer for it, I criticized because I was like, why do the Joker without Batman? You're taking a quintessential piece of that character and removing it. But as I've seen what they're doing with it, I realize, like you said, there's been so many iterations. Why not just do something completely original and different with the character?
Yeah.
So I give this one a pass. I'm going in saying this isn't a Batman movie. This is a Joker movie. And like the Brian Azzarello.
Yeah,
that storyline was awesome. And it was way outside of what I was comfortable with the Joker doing.
Right.
But it was awesome. But I have to say my favorite Joker is probably going to be Jack Nicholson from the 89 Batman. He was the truest Joker.
He was an interesting one. And, you know, I've seen all these movies more times than I can count, especially the 89. That was the first movie I ever saw in a theater was 89 Batman that I remember. I think like my dad told me maybe I had gone to some cartoons when I was real young, but that's the first one I remember. And I remember begging my mother to go see Child's Play instead. And she's like, no, we're going to see Batman. Old Huron Theater, very cool old theater. You know what I mean? Like it had been standing for decades. So really neat. And going in and my mind being blown away. Like this is something so incredibly just, it was special. I knew even as a kid, like this is special. And Nicholson's Joker. So it will always be there for the nostalgia feeling of it all. But I feel like that was a time when they were crossing over from the kind of golden age of comics era into this new, more modern, darker take on these characters. You know, because all we had up until that on the screen was Adam West and Burt Ward, which is amazing in its own right. And Cesar Romero's a good Joker. Like, I like his Joker. And I like that he was like, fuck you, I'm leaving my mustache on. Like, I'm not shaving it. But it's always hard to argue. You know, I've got the Hamill tattoo is my Joker tattoo. I've got a huge Mark Hamill Joker. He always, when I read comics to this day, I hear Mark Hamill in my head. Every time I read. But Ledger, he to me is the true chaos of the Joker. He is, you know, and I can't remember what book it is, but they're in this restaurant, all the Joker's gang, and he just throws like a Molotov cocktail in through the window and burns everybody he knows. And Phil and I, again, talked about this, but when Nicholson shoots Bob the Goon, that's the Joker to me.
Right.
Like nothing is sacred. Nothing is sacred. He really is chaos incarnate. And you know, you had said him and Batman really are different wings of the same plane. It's hard to have one. And they've explored that relationship together. The Joker's even told him, like, I can't kill you. Like, what would I gain from killing you? And I don't know if you remember the episode from the animated series where Harley captured Batman and was getting ready to kill him. And the Joker's like, what the fuck? Like, you can't do that. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. They have this amazing relationship. But he is a killer clown like no other. He does things that a lot of people don't and won't ever do. And Ledger's Joker, I was almost turned it on the other night. As many times I've seen The Dark Knight, I still think it's the greatest superhero movie ever made. I don't know if anybody will ever top it. Yeah. I mean, name me one better. Name me one that as a story, the performances. Because there is some depth to like, oh, Thanos, I can kind of agree with that. Like I see his point of view. With the Dark Knight, I felt like they like dug so deep into the psychology of this thing and the shit with Two-Face and watching Aaron Eckhart turn and watching, you know, good be corrupted in that way. And then, seeing even then you get on the flip side of that, you have the prisoners who have a little bit of morality left to them when they won't, when Debo fucking won't hit the trigger on to blow the thing up. But I do think, I mean, I can't think of many superhero movies that I would say are better than The Dark Knight. It's a hard one.
You know what I really wanted at the end of The Dark Knight, though?
What's that?
I wanted the people, the regular people, to be like, no, we're going to fucking kill the prisoners. Yeah. And they flipped the switch and the Joker had reversed it. So it blows up their own boat.
Ah, that would have been solid.
Yeah.
That would have been solid. And I could see the Joker doing that. 100%. That would have been good.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Joker counts. He's in there.
Oh, for sure.
I just watched a movie with a killer clown right before we started. So a little bit of sad news this morning, man. I was really bummed. Sid Haig got in a bad accident and he's in the ICU.
Oh, no way.
No. Huge bummer. Dude. Woke up to that news and I was like, damn, man. Because I like him so much. Like, I've liked him. Oh, yeah. You know, what was he the judge in? Was it My Cousin Vinny? He played the judge. I remember him.
No, that was Herman Munster.
Okay, so which one was Sid Haig the judge in?
I don't know, dude.
Now I can't. You're right. It was Fred Gwynne. Yeah. The great Fred Gwynne. But I know if I punch this into the computer right now, I'm just going to get a bunch of news. Admitted to ICU after, and his wife came out and was like, please, you know, pray for him or send positive vibes, whatever you do. I'm not ready to lose Sid Haig yet.
So and Kevin Hart, too, this week.
I know. Kevin Hart was another one.
But old Sid, he's not looking so good, man. Like, he lost a lot of weight, and he says it's natural, but he looks cancer sick.
Yeah, he's, I mean, he's been sick. Or yeah. I shouldn't say he's been sick, but he's been looking. What was he the damn judge in? I'm trying to look through his. Oh, yeah, Jackie Brown. Jackie Brown, he was the judge. But, I mean, how old is Sid Haig now?
Oh, he's like a million, man.
Yeah, he was born in 1939.
Jesus, can you imagine seeing the world in 1939 and then being in 2019?
Right. Like, how much has changed in that short? So what is that, 61 plus another? So he's like 80 years old.
Yeah.
So he's getting old, man.
So I have a Sid Haig story.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So I went to my very first Comic-Con, and it was back when Wizard magazine was doing Comic-Cons, and it was Wizard World.
Oh, nice.
It was Wizard World Los Angeles. It was the first Comic-Con I'd ever gone to. So I didn't know what the whole, like I'm walking around all these comic books and stuff, and I'm like, this is chill. And you get to this back area, and then there's all these movie stars sitting there, like in a line. And I was just like, holy shit, you know? And it had like Atreyu from The NeverEnding Story.
Nice.
You would have never known, but he had like a picture of himself as a kid behind him, you know? And Michael J. White was from Spawn was there. And just all these fucking dudes. David Carradine was there. It had just done Kill Bill.
Sweet.
And so I'm going down. I walk up to, I see fucking Lou Ferrigno. And I'm like, the Hulk! So I walk up and I'm talking to him. And he's talking, he's a pretty cool dude and everything. And then I'm like, hey, can I get a picture? And he's like, yeah. And he took a picture with me, came around the table and put his arm around me and stuff, his big giant meat paw. And he goes, all right, okay, that'll be $20. And I'm like, what? $20? And so I'm like, oh fuck, all right, well, I guess I owe him $20. So I give him $20, and then like I go down the line, and it's like it's the black dude from Dawn of the Dead who says, when hell is full, the dead will walk the earth.
I don't remember
his name.
Yeah, no, wasn't that from the original Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah, well, so he was in the original, and then he plays a pastor in the second one, and he's on TV, and he says the line in the new remake one, the Zack Snyder one.
Right, wasn't that Ken Forey?
Yes, yeah. And he was in... He was in
The Devil's Rejects, which is my favorite scene in Devil's Reject when they're talking to that dude, and he's with Michael Berryman from Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah.
That dude's like, you boys ain't going to fuck these chickens, is you? Like, you might not fuck a chicken, but that boy looked like he'll fuck some chickens.
Then Michael Berryman just kind of smiles.
Right. I ain't no chicken fucker, boss. I ain't no chicken fucker. Anyway, so you're moving down the line of all these celebrities.
I go and talk to him, and he goes, and we're talking and stuff, and Dawn of the Dead hadn't even come out yet, but he had stuff for it, and he was telling me he was in the new one. He got to say the cool line. I'm like, sweet. So he goes, you want an autograph? And I was like, yeah, sure. So he signs this postcard for him, and he goes, $20. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck, man? But, like, you can't, like, these dudes, like, I felt so bad, you know? Like, this is the end of their career.
Yeah.
So I was like, I guess I got to give this fucking dude that I was just talking to $20. So I fucking give him $20, and I'm like, we got to get the fuck out of here. Like, I'm out of money.
These fucking celebrities are running my pockets.
Seriously. I was like, these guys might as well fucking hold me down and just take my shit.
You drop your pants like when you saw a clown for the first time.
Like, absolutely. I'm like, Michael J. White, here's my BH. Just don't hurt me.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm leaving the row. At the very end of the row, I see Sid Haig, and we lock eyes, and I'm like, oh, fucking Captain Spaulding. I love him so much. And he goes, boy, come over here. And I was like, no, I'm good. And He goes, come here. I want to talk to you. So I walk over there and I'm talking to him and I forget I'm wearing my Rob Zombie shirt, which I'm actually wearing right now.
Very nice. Yeah, I saw that. The one that was on the, I think I used to have that shirt.
Really?
Yeah, but it's a good one. So you're wearing your Rob Zombie shirt. You see Sid Haig. He calls you over and now you're scared. Peeing your pants
scared.
A little.
I'm like, I don't have any money, Sid Haig. So he's telling me, he's like, you like Rob Zombie? And I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, I like Rob Zombie. And we get to talking and then we talk about House of a Thousand Corpses. And then he tells me that they're currently working on Devil's Rejects and that he's coming back. And I'm like, holy shit, that's fucking awesome. And then he's like, and I had just seen, what's the Spider-Boy one he's in? The old black and white.
Spider-Baby.
Yeah. I had just seen Spider-Baby. And so I brought up Spider-Baby and he shit his pants because no one has fucking seen Spider-Baby. So
Spider-Baby is so happy. So good.
He was so happy to talk about the old ones, you know?
Yeah.
And he's showing me all these fucking pictures. He just had a album of all the old movies that he'd been in, behind the scenes stuff. And he's flipping through all these pictures and showing me. Yeah, it was so cool. I mean, he must have sat there and talked to me for 45 minutes. And then he goes, he's like, hey, you want to do a picture? And I was like, yeah. So he comes around and we take a picture and he does the Captain Spaulding. Like,
yeah.
And I start reaching in my wallet and he's like, no, you're cool.
Just that's good. Awesome.
And I was
like,
oh, you're the fucking man, Sid Haig. And so
that is the best. So all the positive vibes in the world to Sid Haig, hopefully.
Absolutely. He's a good dude.
And that's what we, you know, it's a great segue. That's what we watched this morning after we had found out. We sat down on the couch and watched House of a Thousand Corpses. It's been a little while since I've seen it. I feel like I enjoy it more the older I get, which is weird because I feel like when I was younger, I was like, well, it's just a fucking Rob Zombie music video. And then I learned as time went on, like I learned all of the, you know, all the production stuff he ran into, how much of that he had to shoot at his house, distribution got all fucked up. Like he ran into a lot of problems making that movie, but yeah. Killer Clowns. I mean, Sid Haig, when did Corpses come out? Like 2003, 2004, somewhere right in there.
2000s. Yeah.
So for the past 15 years or so, he has been one of the kind of iconic killer clown faces. There's action figures. I had a Devil's Rejects blanket when that movie came out. I had a throw blanket. But let's just focus in on Captain Spaulding himself. And he's creepy in that he's so normal for the most part. Like he's the most of all the Firefly family. He is without a doubt in my mind, the most normal. And is approachable, able to, even when Walton Goggins is in there talking to him and he's like, yeah, she's cute though, but I like them thicker women. Yeah, a little more cushion for the pushing. But I don't think they really let him shine until Rejects is when he became the scary clown. When he gets in the car with that kid and he's like, what's wrong, kid? Don't you like clowns? Don't you think we're fucking funny? And he's like, I'm gonna come back and kill you and your mom.
I love his fucking commercials, dude.
Oh. Whoa! He's spinning in a circle. And don't forget your tasty fried chicken.
Yeah, man.
So good. And in a way that only really Rob Zombie, I think, could do. And well, you know,
and what makes him scary again is he's got that like kind of charm where he can draw you in close and then he fucking kills you.
Right. And he's kind of disgusting at the same time. Like even
the beginning of Rejects when he's fucking that fat chick. Just so yucky, dude.
Didn't you get enough ass banging already? Like he's, and you know what though? I love that cut at the beginning of Rejects when he flips open the toilet and immediately cups to the coffee being poured into the, I always thought that was such a good cut. I was like,
yeah, that's good. But in House of a Thousand Corpses, he almost could have been the good guy. You don't know. At the end, you're like, oh, is he saving her?
Right.
And then you're like, wait, is he in on it or is he going to be a victim too?
Yeah, because the way Mosley looks at him and turns his head over to the side and looks at Captain Spaulding, you're like, oh, what the fuck? Like, is he going to? And then, I mean, Rejects opens up. We quickly learn that and they all end up on the run. I really like The Devil's Rejects. That is
such a good movie, dude.
It's an amazing movie. I think it's Rob Zombie's. Go ahead.
It's for sure. It's his magnum opus. But the House of a Thousand Corpses was such like an independent thing and kind of came out of nowhere. I had to drive 3 hours from Flagstaff to Phoenix to see it because Flagstaff theaters wouldn't play it.
That sucks, dude. I got screwed out of seeing it at the theater.
Really?
My girlfriend at the time. I was like, I want to go see this movie so bad. Like, we got to see this movie. We got to see it. She's like, oh, I don't feel real good. Blah, blah, blah. We'll go next week. And I'm like, all right, we'll go next week. Went to go next week. It was already out of the theater. I was
like, fucking ladies, man.
Fucking fuck.
I went opening night to go see Zombieland, and my girlfriend at the time made me leave, and the opening fucking montage, she was like, this is too much. I got to go. I can't see this.
No.
Yeah, and I was like, I was with a bunch of buddies, too, and then my girlfriend, and I was like, guys, she's making me bail.
Because was it Metallica was playing?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the zombie just fucking munches him. Yeah.
You got the strippers running out when everything's on fire in slow motion with tassels swinging in the wind. Yeah. Oh, that was.
I was like, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen. And then she's like, I can't handle it. I got to go. And I was like, all right, you go. I was like, here's the keys to the car. She's like, no, you're coming with me.
Oh, that sucks, dude.
Yeah, that relationship didn't last long after that.
No, I'd be like, okay, if you can't handle Zombieland, because Zombieland really isn't all that bad, you know, comparable.
The worst part of it is those first 2 minutes.
Right.
And then after that, it chills way the fuck out. But again, zombie clowns.
Oh, and he was one of the best zombie clowns, yeah. When he's, because Jesse Eisenberg's terrified. He's like, "What?" There was a couple things he hated, but clowns was the top of the list. I love the scene, though, where the clown comes in through the stall door. And you hear, like, the squeaky nose sound.
Yes.
It's like, fuck clowns. And then at the end, he's like, it has to be a clown. It had to be. I got to save the girl. Was his big thing. Him and his Code Red Mountain Dew. She's like, is this Mountain Dew? He's like, yeah, it's Code Red. Gives her some Teddy Grahams in a Ziploc bag because it seals in the freshness. such a great flick.
I'm so excited for the second one coming out.
Yeah, you know, I'm a hesitantly optimistic is what I'll say. Because the only thing that's getting me is you have these doppelganger type characters, and I don't know how that's going to play out. Like there's the equivalent of all of them kind of showing up, so we'll see. But yeah, I'm that first one was so good. I am very excited for a sequel. We'll get there. And then we got the Three from Hell coming up in a couple weeks, next weekend.
Oh, I'm so excited for that.
And that's getting, I'm going to see if I can catch it. They're doing, I think, 3 nights. Fathom Events is doing it. And it's like 20 minutes from here is the closest theater where they're showing it.
Yeah.
And I think the theater, you get a poster. If you show up, like first 50 people get a poster. And then like Rob Zombie does an intro, like an on-screen intro, which would be cool.
I've got Alamo Drafthouse here, so they're fucking going all out with it, you know? But that's in Chandler, so it's like it's like an hour drive from my house. So I'm like, am I going to fucking do it again?
You should. You should. It's very rare, you know, to even get a Rob Zombie movie on the big screen. Like, I think, I can't remember the last one. I think Lords of Salem might have been the last one that had a pretty wide distribution. Because that was after Halloween 2, right? It wasn't in between. Yeah. It was after Halloween 2. So, yeah, but the only reason Halloween is because it was called Halloween.
Exactly.
That's why you get that. He was a little killer clown, Little Michael.
Oh, yes, he was.
Wearing the clown mask.
Yeah.
And then, we got it again in part 4 where Jamie was wearing the costume at the end after she had stabbed her mom in the bathroom.
Right.
So let's talk about one of my all-time favorite killer clown movies. And it actually has killer clown in the title. 1988's Killer Clowns from Outer Space. This I had a VHS copy when they released it. It was like I don't remember what the distribution company was, but they said Midnight Movies on the top. I don't know if you remember any of those VHSs, but it said Midnight Movies. And Killer Clowns, I do remember seeing on TV, but it's still such an insane idea. So aliens crash land, set up this huge circus tent in the woods, and I love kind of your like redneck backwoods character. He's like, oh, we're going to be rich. We're going to be rich out there with his dog. And then our two main characters show up, the girl and the guy, I can't remember their names either, but they show up. He's like, hey, it's the Circus Bizarro. Like, this is one of them weird French things. It's like, what do you mean it's a weird French thing? Like, just a huge circus tent out in the middle of the woods. But the characters, I'm such a sucker for practical effects, and those costumes are just, they're the best. The best.
I think that's one of the first scary movies I think I saw. And it, cause it would come on HBO all the time, you know, and I was a total HBO kid. So like it came on and I was like, this looks scary, but it kind of looks amazing with those costumes. So I gave it a watch, and there were parts in it that scared the ever loving fuck out of me, but there was enough stuff in between. Like it gave you like comedy breathers.
Right. The comedy elements are like, I love the shadow puppets when he does
the T-Rex, dude. So good.
Does the T-Rex. The thing that scared me as a kid was the clown in the bathroom. So the snake with the little face on it.
Yeah.
Always kind of weirded me out. And the giant clown at the end is so great. The huge marionette. The only way to kill it is to pop its nose. Nose explodes everywhere. And you had that great music. That ding, 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 killer clowns. Like, what happened to good theme songs? Like, you know,
I don't know, dude.
Lyrics that were written.
We lost it when Dokken broke up.
I think you're right. Oh, yeah. The fucking Dream Warriors is the best.
Yeah, dude. I used to have the VHS of that, and it had the Dokken music video, like, after the movie.
The video is good. The song, we're the Dream Warriors. Don't want to dream no more.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, the Killer Clowns theme. You know, and John Vernon was so much fun in that movie. He was the main, I think that was John Vernon. He was kind of the asshole cop.
The asshole cop, yeah. And then that was the thing that scared me the fucking worst, dude, is when he goes in and the fucking killer clown gets him.
Oh, and he's
like fucking, they do the ventriloquist puppet.
Right.
And then it just the lines down his mouth and his skin was all like powdered and pale. And then the clown pulls his hand out and like sloshes all the blood off. I was like, holy fuck, that's so scary.
Yeah, but it was good though. And it is, I mean, watching it now, I would almost list it as comedy first before horror. You know, when you're a little kid, it's easy to be like, oh, that's spooky. But now going back to it, and with the little one, when he's puts on the boxing gloves, the tiniest little clown.
You feel all bad for him. You're like, oh, and then he's like a total fucking killer.
Right. He's an animal. Knocks that dude straight into space. But Killer Clowns from Outer Space, it's, for me, the quintessential Killer Clown movie. Because it's one that I've probably seen more than any of the other ones, and I always go back to it because it's just so much fun.
Yeah.
Everything about it.
And I can't believe that they haven't pulled together a sequel or a Netflix series or something.
Because the following is crazy. Like, there's a huge cult following for that movie. You still see merchandise being made from this movie. Like, new shit. And I'm like...
Yeah.
Like, people are still so into this movie. So why we have never gotten a sequel? Or like you said, Netflix, Amazon, somebody pick it up.
There's got to be something held up with the rights. It's got to be one of those companies that fucking went under in the 80s and the rights are tied up somewhere.
Right.
It's got to be.
Yeah, either that or like with a Friday the 13th where everything got so muddled and who owns what and maybe split in some weird way. Anyway. We do have one that we texted a little bit the other day about it. And like, hey, you had asked me about All Hallows Eve, the first two movies, which are good. They're anthology horror though. So it's a bunch of little vignettes pieced together and we kind of get our main protagonist. Actually, in the second one, I don't think you get him at all. It was a weird, like a wooden pumpkin mask. I want to say it was some kind of a pumpkin mask, but 2016's Terrifier, Damien Leone, this dude came out of nowhere with arguably one of the greatest slashers of the past decade.
Yeah.
Past 10 years.
It's one of those ones where all you have to do is just see art and you're like, ooh, fuck, I got to watch this.
Right. And art, you know, and there was even people putting, they were like scarier than Pennywise when this thing came out, which in a lot of ways, I would almost say absolutely. Art is terrifying.
Pennywise at least still has like a little kid element to it, but art doesn't look friendly at all.
No. And when he's sitting in the diner with them, just staring at her. So I actually put money towards the Will, who's been on the show before. I think he's the one who maybe sent me the stuff when Terrifier was first coming out, but he sent me the link to do the Kickstarter for Terrifier 2, which is in the works right now. Yeah. So I got a really cool, I think the rewards I picked was a 11 by 14 exclusive print and then a signed script. Script. So I was like, yeah, put those in a frame side by side. I was like, that'll look awesome. Down with all.
Yeah.
But Art, and Art's thing though, is he still acts funny because Art's a mime. He's not like a true clown. Yes, he looks like a clown, but he's more of a mime. He never, even when he gets like stabbed in the foot and all this stuff's happening to him, never makes a sound, just the scream faces. But him dancing around in that woman's skin when she's peeking out through the hole.
So disturbing, dude.
I mean, sawing a woman in half is bad enough because
that was fucked, dude. Like when that happened, I was like, I've never seen this before.
Right.
Like I saw Bone Tomahawk, but Bone Tomahawk cut away.
Yeah.
This just like from like snatch to throat. You see the whole fucking thing and it's wiggling and you're like, it's naked, which should be attractive, but this is not attractive. It's,
and Art's face while he's doing it, like, and he's, you know, he's really putting muscle into it to get through the but I think Damien Leone was a special effects guy before he was writer director. Yeah, because those effects are amazing,
like insane effects and just bloody real looking shit.
Yeah. And even when the dude gets the thing right through the top of his head, like all the effects in that movie, all practical. There was nothing there that was, and you know, it's kind of a throwback to like the video nasties and the slashers of the 80s. But yeah, I did always say though, which is a horrible thing to say, like if you're going to cut a woman in half, that's a great place to start because you already have like a line. It's like,
Joe, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's why like, would you even think about stuff like that?
It's nature's miter box. Like it's.
God damn it. That needs to be the name of this podcast. Nature's Miter Box.
Nature's Miter Box. And I actually said that to my wife at one point. She's like, you're disgusting, but you are right. Like,
oh my God. You married the right woman because other women.
I 100% did. She is my soulmate without a doubt in my mind. But you have, you know, Art doing the, and even when he's riding around on the little tricycle and when he's riding around in circles out in the thing, he's still such a clown, but at the same time, that movie scared me. It is rare where I truly get any kind of like fear, but there were times in that movie I was like, that's scary shit. Like he's a nightmare, man. He's a nightmare. He's
super evil. And that movie took away a lot of horror movie tropes, like where you expected it to go one way. And then he just shoots the main character in the fucking face halfway through the movie.
Right. Right.
You're like, what the fuck? What? Where do we go now?
And even leading up to that point, you know, we're so used to the killer grabbing, another weapon, another knife or something. He just pulls a gun out. And poof,
oh, yeah,
and that's the end of it.
And I've never seen anybody take a selfie with Freddy or Jason.
Right. Yeah. She's like, come on, let's take a picture. And he comes over with that ring to propose to her. And he's really, I mean, almost vaudevillian in his actions, which he has to be being a mime. But what's his name? David Howard, who plays Art, does such a good job. And I've watched some interviews with him. It's so weird. You see some of these guys. He's wearing like a Pokemon shirt and has like Pokemon and stuff all over the place. And but they really did something special. I wish we got more horror like that regularly. You know, and a lot of people, you know, you've made movies, getting financing is not always easy. And a lot of people they don't want creative. They want whatever's going to sell the price of admission more than anything else.
Making a movie is the most like creative thing you can do. And it's also the worst thing, the worst idea you could ever have for yourself.
Right.
Because you're literally like, what could I do to fucking ruin my life? Oh, I should make a movie.
Right. And I read David Lynch has this really, really short book that I read a couple of weeks ago. Really fascinating stuff. I didn't know he was huge into like meditation. I always thought David Lynch would be a weird dude. He seems like the most calm, down to earth, like in tune with himself dude you could come to. But he says in there, he's like, the worst thing that you can ever do to a movie is give somebody Final Cut. He's like, when a studio has Final Cut, when anybody else has Final Cut who's not the director or the writer, you're going to end up with something that they didn't want and you're ruining. He's like, that's what happened to me on Dune. He's like, that Dune wasn't the movie I wanted to make. He's like, but then people started saying, hey, just go ahead and make what you want to do. And he's like, that's where it's at. That's where you got to be. If you're going to make a movie, that's the way you got to do it. You got to have final cut, final input. And I feel like with Terrifier, Damien Leone was just like, this is exactly the movie I want to make.
That's when you get those surprises, because the filmmaker wants to surprise and make something different. Anybody else that has money involved in it or anything are going to come in and be like, we're going to take the safest approach.
Right. The easiest return on investment.
Exactly.
Is what we want. Have you seen the Gacy movie?
Yes. With the dude from fucking Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Or from Leprechaun. He was the big dummy in, he was the dummy in Mark Holton. So John Wayne Gacy, yes, everybody remembers him as, having the clown appearance, but I don't think he ever killed as the clown. I don't think that was
Gacy. He never did. Yeah. He never killed as the clown. He would use his clown surprises. He did this rope trick, and he'd take the knot of rope, and he'd say, put your hands in between the rope
and
see if you can get out. And then he'd fucking handcuff them and then murder them and rape their little boy bodies.
Ugh. And, you know, there's a couple years in high school where I was super into true crime. I was super into true crime. And I read everything I could find, every killer, everything I could find. I was just fascinated by it. I feel like we live in a weird culture right now where true crime is like laughed at a lot of times and things are made light of. I've never been okay with that. Like, I've never been okay. And the idea of John Wayne Gacy is just such a fucking nightmare. I mean, that's the shit that, and you think they, like, even the box art for this movie is him in the clown makeup.
Yeah.
Like, do they use that just because that was never a shtick? Like, he would do kids parties and stuff as the clown.
That's the idea. It's just that it's like, it's horrible. What the reality of it, though, was worse. And I mean, our idea that, like, if he did it in the clown makeup, that would be fucking horrifying. Right. But just what he did, because, I mean, you seem to me like you were a latchkey kid like I was, where you were alone a lot more than you should have been at a young age.
Yeah, yeah.
I went over to older dudes' houses and hung out and fucking played video games and shit.
Right, and it's so weird. I would have,
if somebody was like, hey, you want to see a cool rope trick? I'd be like, fuck yeah.
Show it to
Next
me.
Next thing I know, I'd have a dude in my BH.
Right. All horrible. Up in it. Yeah, and he was.
We had a guy who had an arcade in his garage, and we used to go over there and we'd knock on his back door and he'd give us quarters to play in his garage.
Oh, see, and that's.
That dude was a full on raper. He had to have been. But then I'm like, well, I was too ugly to rape. What the fuck?
I wasn't good enough for you. That's the title of the episode. I was too ugly to rape. But yeah, Gacy was just such a, and you know, he's one of the big ones. Like, you talk about serial killers, he's one of the most prolific because of the idea, like, it smelled so bad under the house. Like, how bad did it have to smell?
How did his wife not notice?
Right. Or did she know? And then
she had to have known because he was a big gay homo and like everybody was just like, oh, he's fine.
Yeah.
He was a weirdo.
But that Gacy movie's good. I really enjoyed they did a whole run of those for a few years in the late 90s, early 2000s. They did a Ted Bundy, a Dahmer. I think there was an Albert Fish movie. There was an Ed Gein movie and then the Gacy movie. And, but him as the, 30 dead people under his house.
Ugh. The only reason he got caught is because he ran out of room and started burying them in the garden.
Right.
So crazy. Well, and the cops were like, scoping him out, you know, and then, but he just like was like, they're like, hey, can we come and use your bathroom? He's like, yeah,
come on in.
Don't mind that smell. I just farted. No, those are dead boys.
Those are dead boys, not farts.
There's the title for the episode.
Those are dead boys. Lots of titles. It's going to be one of those.
T-shirt factory.
Right.
These are t-shirts.
I can't imagine wearing a t-shirt that said those are dead boys, not farts.
If anybody could pull it off, it's you, Joe.
Yeah. Wear it around. But no, the Gacy movie, I did enjoy it. I enjoyed him as Gacy. But did you ever see Stitches?
Yes.
Yes.
That was fucked up too.
I really like Stitches though. I really enjoyed Stitches. Yeah, he kind of comes back from the dead. They'd killed him at this, a party, and they killed him. And then he comes back as Stitches the Clown, which was a ton of fun. The cool, a cool clown design on top of that. And what's the other big one? Oh, that. No, go ahead.
It had really good gore in that one, too.
Yeah. Was it an English movie? I want to say it might have been British, but maybe not. I don't remember. I need to rewatch it because that's one I remember liking a lot. And the one I didn't like as much, a lot of people seemed to really enjoy it, was that that John Watts movie, Clown. That was.
I didn't like that movie either.
Yeah. I think Eli Roth's name was on it somewhere as a producer, as Eli Roth presents, something like that. But he.
It was a good idea, but it just didn't pan out.
You put on the clown suit and then it slowly took him over. It was kind of gross when he ripped the nose off, though.
Yeah. That was nasty.
Real kind of slimy, like viscous liquid pulling away from it as he's yanking it off his face.
Yeah.
That was a...
it had its moments. Like, the clown looked cool when he was a full clown, but...
Yeah. It was... I mean, the clown design wasn't bad, but the movie, I felt it was just... It was just lacking more than it delivered. And, the one I did want to talk about that we talked about, View Askew, and...
Oh, I knew you were going to bring this one up.
You know what? It's really interesting, too, because I met Brian O'Halloran one time, and... I got to listen to him. I'd bought some VIP passes for a local con up north where he was at. And with the VIP passes, you got a special sit down with Brian O'Halloran. And it was like, you got to sit for a half hour, 45 minutes and just ask questions. And it was really neat. And I asked him about Vulgar. And I was like, are we ever going to get any more? And he's like, man, not enough people talk about that. He's like, I would love to. He's like, I'd love to go back to that world. And so... Brian Johnson, I don't know if you listen to Tell Him Steve Dave or have ever listened to Tell Him Steve Dave.
Yeah.
But Brian Johnson he's an interesting dude because he's super hilarious. He's kind of a dick most of the time. Like Kevin Smith and Brian both, like Randall Graves is Brian Johnson. Like that was the equivalent of Brian Johnson. But he's a very smart man at the same time. And so Vulgar was back in 2000. I feel like if he had a little bit more money and some time, I want to see what that dude would do. Like, I think he's got a cool brain for it. But Vulgar itself is, how would you even describe Vulgar to someone?
Like, upsetting?
Super, super upsetting. A clown that gets gang raped and is then trying to kind of piece things back together. Yeah. But I really like Vulgar. I've always been a fan, but it is a dark... twisted kind of it's a gross movie.
It's gross and it upset me. And I watched it at too young of an age when I wasn't okay with ass rape. I hadn't seen as much of it. Now I'm desensitized to it, but then it was just too much.
And that was a pretty brutal ass raping at the same time. I mean, how old were you when you saw Pulp Fiction?
I was young. I was in junior high school.
Cause this was 6 years after Pulp Fiction. And that was a nasty ass rape, too.
That was. Yeah. Ass rape is always upsetting to me.
Have you ever seen Irreversible?
No.
Okay, so I don't know if I want to recommend this or not. It's one of those it's one of those ones that I have to know. You would probably be okay with it. But there is a rape scene in that movie that is 9 minutes long. And the shot is static. The entire time. And the worst part, they say it's one of the most homophobic movies ever made because it's a gay man raping a woman. And it's Monica Bellucci's the one getting raped, who she's such, an amazing talent, such a beautiful woman. And it's violent, violent. The whole movie, though, the whole movie's backwards. I mean, credits roll in reverse from the opening of the movie.
Really?
And the whole thing plays backwards, but the guy was really clever with the way he shot it. Like, during the chaotic moments, like, the camera's huge and, like, swooping and doing these gnarly things, and then we get back to the end, which would be the beginning of the movie, and it makes you feel even worse about your life, finding out all this stuff, finding out all this stuff that had gone down. But, and I've always said the same thing in any movie, I don't like rape. I don't like it at all. I've never... I spent 3 years while I was in the Navy, while I was teaching as I was what was called a SAVVY. It was a sexual assault victim intervention. And so once a month I would have to carry this phone with me. And if something happened, somebody would call me. I'd have to take them to the hospital to do like the full rape kit and everything. It was, you know, they needed somebody, and I'd have to ask, like, hey, would you prefer a woman? I don't know if you even want a man there. I never did, like, kids and family and shit like that, though. It was all 18 and older, these students, but it was still awful, and rape's always an awful thing, and it's never something that I don't know. Just makes me feel really gross, and especially, but in Pulp Fiction, I guess, I don't want to say there was a comedic element to it, but there kind of is, you know, yeah. It's set up in a way where it's almost, you know, as he's choosing the weapons off of the thing and you know what's going on down there. And I think the gimp adds a certain level of disassociation. It's easier to say, okay, this is not real. Like, somebody probably wouldn't have that guy in the closet and bring him out. But with something like Irreversible, the rape is awful. And in Vulgar, the rape is awful. Like, it's terrible. And even in Zombies Halloween, I didn't like that either. In the first one where they raped the girl on his bed with the masks on and stuff. It was gross.
Yeah.
But anyway, Vulgar. it's a vulgar movie. I got a couple more that I was thinking of when I was thinking of some of my killer clowns. Did you ever see any of the Killjoy movies?
No.
So I think there's three of them total. And the first one came out in 2000. Then there was a couple after. Looks like 2002 is the second one. They're really silly killer clown movies. Like, he's a very exaggerated, over-the-top looking killer clown, but they're fun. They're fun if you ever get a chance to see Killjoy. And probably the one that scared me the most as a kid was the clown from Poltergeist.
Yeah, that messed me up.
Yeah, that really, really messed with me bad.
I used to keep my dolls on my bed to, like, protect me while I slept. And then after that, I was like, fuck you, dolls. You're going in the closet.
Right.
I shouldn't say dolls. They were stuffed animals, people. I didn't play with dolls, all right?
They were my friends. You leave me alone. They were my friends.
I had Leonardo.
Nice.
I had Mario.
And there's such a, even just kind of looking through some of these lists, like some of these movies I've never even heard of. Sloppy the Psychotic, which is a clown movie. Sick, which stands for Serial Insane Clown Killer. That sounds like an ICP thing.
Ugh, ICP. Talk about a bunch of homoerotic clown fuckers.
And I'm going to let you know right now, I think I've said this on those movie guys maybe once a long time ago. Your boy was a juggalo. Your boy was a juggalo. I loved me some ICP. But I was just, I grew up just north of Detroit. Yeah. It was, and the, you know, looking back on it now, the music is silly. I still love the music. I'll go back and listen to it sometimes. But going to Harpo's on Devil's Night, and it was just bottles of Faygo being launched all over, spraying everywhere. It was more of, I think, the community and the experience. It was like going to see Gwar. I've seen Gwar so many times. Every time I go to Gwar, I know I'm getting into something that's crazy. And with ICP, it was the same thing. Like, it was the experience itself was so much bigger than any one album or any one song. And yeah, I would paint my face all up and shit and go and do it.
Oh no, Joe. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for you.
I look back on it with warmth in my heart.
But my ex-girlfriend was a juggalette.
Nice.
And she had the fucking big old symbol hanging from her car window. So I learned about it.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about ICP and the juggalettes and juggalos until I met her. And I tried to understand it because I enjoyed that vagina. But I never could get behind it.
See, I never had the stickers on my car or anything like that. But I went to the first gathering of the juggalos, went to so many concerts. But I never had, like, I had a lot of friends who were super, like, had Hatchet Man tattoos and all this stuff. And I never went, like, completely full bore that way, but I did enjoy going to the shows and listening to the music, and it was a good time. It was a lot of fun.
I tried to, like, she made me a mix CD to try to get into it, and I was just like, it was weird because she was like a feminist, but ICP is all about, like, slapping bitches and, like, fucking them with axes and stuff. And I just, I don't know, man.
You know, I completely understand. And I get why some people don't like it. Like, I understand.
It's a real mixed message.
It really is. And then they have songs that are, like, really deep. And when he finally came out and they explained, like, what the butterflies were and So there's all kinds of stuff there. But I'll give them all the credit in the world. They created fans who will to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth.
They'll die for each other.
Yeah.
My favorite episode of It's Always Sunny, dude, is that fucking one with the Juggalo.
Oh, yeah.
And Charlie's the janitor at the school.
Wasn't there an episode of Workaholics? Where they, I think they ended up at an ICP show. Yeah, ICP is such a part of the, I mean, in the mainstream media, like everybody knows ICP for exactly who they are.
They're in the news this week because that dude's suing an ICP guy with no legs for running into him with his golf cart.
I remember the FBI wanted to put him on make him a gang, like wanted to call the Juggalos.
They kind of are, dude. If you watch that fucking, there's a documentary about it that like goes into their festivals and stuff. And like those people are nuts and they're allowed like 3 days. It's like the purge.
Yeah.
You know, they just go to these festivals and fucking just enjoy debauchery.
The gathering of the Juggalos. And see, when I went to the first one, it was nothing like that. Like it was concerts all day and night long. You had like wrestling that was going on. They had a full wrestling ring in there, all kinds of like carnival games and stuff like that. You get a free ICP tattoo if you wanted. They had tattoo booth set up. It was like a huge, I mean, it was like a carnival. It was like an insane carnival that just went on for days and days and days. All right, man. So we've been going for a little bit here.
I bet it's getting long.
Chat it up. Did you have anything else? Any other killer clowns? I know there's a ton we're missing. So if anybody thinks of any, what clowns scared you? I want to know. Shoot us a message, ihoh@gmail.com.
I got two more I want to talk about real quick.
No, dude, take your time. We don't got to rush through it. I just want to make sure I put that out there. But what do you got for your killer clowns?
Twisty from American Horror Story.
Oh, Jesus H. Yeah.
When he fucking stabs that couple, dude, that was fucking hardcore.
It was fucked up, man. And that was when American Horror Story kind of started to fall off. I didn't think that was the best season, but him as the clown living in that bus.
Yeah.
That dilapidated like school bus, or was it an RV? I think it was a bus. It was that was he was scary and a great design. Really. It kind of reminded me of, did you ever read Death of the Family, the Batman run?
Yes.
More modern, when the Joker cut his face off and then strapped it back on.
Yeah.
Twisty kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, a little bit. That really upset me too, that whole Joker arc, because the Joker was, they took him to the next level.
Yeah. What was he always wearing? The Joe's Garage.
Yeah.
That was such a good story arc. And when he had them all at the table at the end, oh, that was brutal.
Yeah.
And I really love the Batman Who Laughs. I don't know if you're staying current with comics, but out of Dark Knight's Metal.
Yeah, the Dark Metal series. Yeah. That's a gnarly whole series, dude, too.
The Batman Who Laughs, when, it's like a spoiler alert for anybody who reads comic books. I don't even know if that's... That's a thing, but in the one shot, Batman Who Laughs, when he's down in the Bat Cave and Batman gets corrupted and murders the entire Bat family, and he's got those fucking Robins on leashes. Like, that's just, man, that's messed up.
Yeah, it's like Batman on top and Joker on the bottom. It's gnarly, dude.
Yeah, super crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was your other one?
And the last one I have is John Leguizamo's clown from Spawn.
Violator. Yes. Yeah.
So like I hated that movie and I was so upset because I was such a fan of the comic books and they just fell so far from where the comic books were.
But now, did you watch, you said you were an HBO kid. Did you watch the animated series?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. That was awesome too.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm really excited because, you know, they're adding Spawn to Mortal Kombat 11.
Oh, yeah.
And Keith David is going to be the voice.
Oh, nice. Nice. Which
is fucking cool. Yeah. But yeah, the only part of that movie that nailed it was fucking John Leguizamo as the clown.
Right.
I'm not even a Leguizamo fan.
Oh, see, I like him a lot. I'm a big fan of his. Yeah, even when he was the cheerleader. Spawny, he's our man. I saw Spawn in the theater because, like you, that was when I was really getting into comic books and Spawn was it. Like that book was.
I saw it in the theater too, and it was one of the first times where I was like, oh, just because you see a movie in the theater doesn't make it good.
Right. Right. Yeah. That doesn't mean it's a good movie. I think that realization I got when I saw Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh, I saw that one in the theater too. Yeah.
It's like, this God is, damn. This is bad. I don't yeah. like this. I don't like the feelings this is giving me. This is gross. I want to mention real quick though. I was just looking at a list of like best killer clown movies to see if there's anything we missed. And this one, Clown House from 1989.
Huh. And it's, never heard of it.
Holy shit. Is that Victor Salva? I want to say he was the dude that directed, Jeepers Creepers, went to prison for Chomo.
Oh, went, goddamn Chomos.
And it says this, maybe it's the fact that the director molested his underage male star and knowing that makes you want to scrub yourself clean. And it looks like there's a young Sam Rockwell in it. The story is simple. Three men escape from an insane asylum, dress up like clowns, and stalk three brothers in a big house. And just three crazy guys dressed up, and that a pedophile monster made the movie. But it says Clown House is an unsettling film, but it's available. It's entirety on YouTube. So I might need Yeah. Might have to check out Clown House and then report back. So it says forewarned, not a movie to watch by yourself. So I think that's going to be required watching maybe tonight or tomorrow.
You got your afternoon planned.
Right. Right. I got to go drop off.
So you're the fucking old school dude. You haven't mentioned The Man Who Laughs, where it all comes from.
You know
from.
What? I was going to bring it up, but I knew who I was recording with today. And I was like, I don't think Jason will have seen, or they just released, it was 2 months ago, a new Blu-ray, a 4K restoration of it. Yeah, and I really want to get my hands on it because it's not one that's streaming anywhere. But yeah, so old silent movie, 1928, and most people would know it because his face is where they got the idea for... The Joker.
Right.
And it is a terrifying image. Like his.
Yes, it is.
Even if you've never seen this movie, you've probably seen the image of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, this guy who gets executed, this king gets executed, and then they disfigure his kid and make him look all nightmarish like that. And he's just got this huge Joker smile, like that black and white image is truly iconic. But I don't think he was a clown. I don't think he was. I mean, but the image itself counts.
Right.
Because that's an old school clown image, but it's a good one. Yeah. You should watch it. Get on them silent films, Jason Bromley. Jay Burt.
I take a bad rap, man. Like I don't enjoy them per se, but I am a student of film. So I know about this shit.
Yeah, you do gotta, and that's, you know, when I was in school, I took as many film class electives as I possibly could, and that's when you study all that stuff, and you actually look at it. Now, some of it, and Phil and I have talked about this, and I think it's something that you would appreciate as well, some of it I don't even appreciate for the story or the acting. It's like, oh, look what they did with the cameras. Like, that was so new. And even with Citizen Kane, like, I'm a huge fan of Citizen Kane. I think the story's amazing, but a lot of people will be like, it's boring.
Yeah.
Like Citizen Kane is a pretty boring movie, but Wells was doing shit with the camera that nobody was doing up until that point. And so it's kind of a milestone. But some of this stuff where you're like, oh, I don't like this or I don't like that. I'm like, man, you're missing out. You're missing out. Like on the Kurosawa stuff, like his entire filmography is worth watching everything at least once. Because the dude was a genius storyteller, a great, like Takashi Miike, more modern guy. I'll watch anything he does.
Japanese I am going to give that stuff a try because I've heard that it's amazing from more people than just you. So I'm going to check it out.
And me and sometimes Phil are just going to keep bothering you until you eventually do it. And you're like, all right, shut the fuck up. I'll do it. All right. But why don't you throw a little plug out there for your show, man? Let people know what's going on with some talking poop.
Hell yeah, guys. If you like talking about movies, music, and media, you come on over to Talking Poop Podcast, where we pick a movie every week, or we pick a artist that we like, and we just talk poop about it. It's just kind of an open-ended conversation, and I get some funny guests on there, and we talk the poop.
You do have some good guests, and I enjoy it every week when your new episode comes out. You definitely have a good show going on over there, and I would encourage people to definitely check it out. It is not something to listen to in the car with the family. Make sure
we have no morals, no standards.
not safe for work.
Not even for the faint of heart, I'd say.
Right. Yeah. But if you've like, ever been curious if a herpes can attach itself to a butt hair and swing around, Talking Poop is the show for you.
Exactly.
If you want to know about Alicia's butt herpes. And,
yeah, if you ever just want to hear just a woman talk worse than any man you've ever met,
yes,
then yeah, Talking Poop's the place for you.
She is a vile creature, but she's really great. But a very talented musician. Very talented musician.
Oh, she's so talented at everything, and I hate her for that.
Yeah, she's so so talented, but hilarious at the same time. So, Alicia, you've got one fan out there, even though for the first probably 6 months you and I knew each other, I told you I always pictured Alicia as the all-knowing trash heap from Fraggle Rock. Just raises up out of the ground to do a podcast. I'm the all-knowing trash heap.
It's almost like that. She lived in my closet, and we would just put her back when the podcast was over. Right.
Go get the gimp. You bring Alicia out. Bring Alicia out to do the podcast. So, Jason, thank you so much for coming over, man, and filling in. Had an absolutely just a great time. And maybe we'll get you back sometime. And again, everybody listening to this, Josh is going to be here next week. We're doing a live in person.
Oh, man.
And that's the beauty of podcasting is some of the like closest friends I have in my life right now, I've met through podcasting and people I talk to almost more often than I talk to my friends who live close to me.
And that's a beautiful thing.
It really is such an amazing thing. And so in a million years, I never would have said, oh yeah, Josh is going to come over and stay for a couple days. Like this dude I met through a podcast who we just, you know, common ground, horror movies. And now it's been years since we've been talking and known each other, but very excited. So we'll have a special episode next week when he's here. We're going to do something live. I think we might do a commentary, but I don't know on what yet.
Please tell me, though, that Josh isn't coming all the way from Germany to America to go to Michigan and watch It Chapter 2 with you.
He is not only coming to do that. They're flying into New York. They're going to do Niagara Falls. They're going to go down through Cleveland, stay in Ann Arbor for a little bit. Then they're going to come up, stay with us for a long weekend. Then they're going to shoot over to Chicago, and I think they fly home from Chicago. No, it's a much bigger trip than just coming to watch
It
Chapter 2. But what are you saying? I'm not worth it? I'm not worth it to come over here?
I'm like saving up gas money right now to drive to Michigan so I can sit in your lap and watch a horror movie.
In the bathtub, man. Well, I'm telling you, I have a bathtub in this house that could probably fit 4 grown men. We'll just,
I'm on it.
Bring Brian Gunn with you and we'll load us all
I'm going to leave Alicia at home on that one because it might get weird.
Right. Yeah. Leave Alicia at home.
She has a bigger dick than all of us.
And she can kiss the DVDs. You can take them all with you and then she could do it after. And
there you go.
Yeah. But they'll all be copies of Garbage Pail Kids, the live action movie.
Nice.
The height of cinematic achievement. All righty.
Yes, it was.
So if you want to get into contact with us, IHOH Podcast and all the social media platforms, or you can email us directly, IHOHpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. And if you would jump on to Apple Podcasts, leave a rate and review. That would be amazing of you. So get on there, do that. We'd greatly appreciate it. And for the International House of Horrors, I have been Joe Merle.
And I've been Jason.
And we'll be back next week with more things terrible, horrible, brutal, bloody, gory, and the macabre.